I've been asked the question, what's the difference between the chairman and an elder in connection with class study? First thing, as sort of a review, there are many classes in the United States, let's say, where 3 constitutes a class. 5, 7, 9. And depending on the locality and so forth. And there are problems that arise. Sometimes they're all sisters. Sometimes there are only 1 male or 2 males in the class. And then when it comes to elections, there's a problem because they feel that first that a sister, it's not advisable that they act as a chairman. Well, in some cases, it's necessary because if they're all sisters and they have a study, someone would have to act as, like, using a vulgar term, like a traffic cop to have some sequence of order in the class. But now there are some classes where the sisters are more advanced than some of the brothers. These are very peculiar situations. And so they are faced with the dilemma because they feel that the brother is not capable as an elder, and they know that 1 or 2 or 3 of them are far more advanced than, but they feel that since the scriptures say, I suffer not a woman to teach, they feel that, well, under this circumstance, it would be advisable to have a brother, but they don't want that brother to be like a teacher, but to act as a chairman so that the study will be orderly. And sometimes these problems work out nicely. Sometimes there's still problems, but at least they're trying to do the best they can. Now, say one is elected as a chairman. Well, usually that would mean that they are consecrated, that they are, let us say, a brother, but they have not been elected as an elder. Now, in the capacity, if they're elected as a chairman, the first thing the chairman has to realize, he has great limitations, that he cannot conduct the study in the fashion that an elder can. In other words, some in acting as a chairman, they try to be a sort of separate from the study itself in the sense that they will just conduct the statements of others and keep quiet themselves. Some feel they like to have input because they are a brother, and the other, there may be other brothers and sisters, they would like to have a voice in the conduct of the meeting. Well, I would say that that's up to the chairman, that they have that liberty. But now, in conducting such a study, and you're only as a chairman, you have to be extremely careful that you don't teach. That is important, that you don't teach. You can sum up the various opinions, maybe, let us say, you have an hour's study, but it's like a smorgasbord. I mean, there's so many, differences of opinion. The chairman would try to dispassionately voice what the discussions in the study were and try to put in pithy form that this view was expressed, that view was expressed, and so forth, to sort of try to not make it too like an anarchy meeting, but that there be some concise statements. But as far as they themselves giving their opinion in a positive fashion, they cannot do that. They were not elected for that purpose. Some people are very capable along that line, that they can sum up the various statements and just leave it that way. And then that's it. Where a person is elected as an elder in the scriptural fashion by the raising of the hand, etc., and they accept that particular office, of course, they now are accepting a responsibility. But the class is giving permission to that brother to conduct the study or whatever it might be, the affairs throughout the year, and it's an annual election, which can always be interrupted midterm at any time, so the person can be voted out of office, so it's a tenuous situation based on the goodwill of the class and so forth. But the Lord permits such a one who is elected in that fashion in conducting the study to make statements in a more positive fashion. He's absolutely given that liberty, according to the scripture, that he is like a shepherd of the flock. I'm using it in a very loose way, but that he has certain liberties. But the elder now is held very accountable to their teaching as to the manner in which they express themselves and the side they take on certain issues or the interpretation they give of certain scriptures, that while they are allowed, like Paul says, to speak as a trumpet, with some meaning, with some conciseness, some direction or thrust to the study and their views on that, they will be held accountable by the Lord as to whether they exercise that office properly or not. And the class will not know necessarily one's position in the sight of the Lord, whether they are a faithful instructor or minister to the office that they were elected. That would be up to the Lord, and they would be scrutinized. Their behavior, their actions and manner and so on would be scrutinized by the Lord. I'm not talking about character. Some people are more soft-spoken, some more direct, some a little blunt, but that will be only at the end of the journey will it be known to that individual as to the acceptance or the demotion. There could be some shame attached later to their teaching. And we see in the Old Testament several examples where some people in dealing with a prophet, if that was a prophet recognized by God in an approval sense, people had to be mighty careful in their dealing with that individual, because this is not just an ordinary thing. So we feel that an elder is given liberties, but he cannot lord it, certainly, over the flock. And some, no doubt, either consciously or subconsciously do that, lord it over the flock. At least the congregation has the liberty, when it comes to voting, to demote such an individual. They have that liberty, a safeguard that they have in their hands. But some, through fear or other reasons, don't exercise that option. But certainly the Lord will, in his due time, take care of anything that's done improperly. So a chairman, in leading a study, being it's not done scripturally in the sense, the raising of the hands to be even the chairman, that's one thing, but it's not an office in the sense of teaching, but of conducting order. I went to one class up in Syracuse, I think it was North Syracuse, many, many years ago. And whenever they had a business meeting, they had somebody who wasn't even a deacon to act as chairman of that business meeting. Well, when he got up there, he was about 80, 85, maybe even 90 years of age. He was an old, and I thought, you know, that, well, they highly respect him for that, because they passed by the elders and had this one who wasn't an elder to be chairman. But then I was amazed how he conducted that meeting. When there was a discussion on, he says, all right, now it's this, and it's this, and it's this. Now, what is it? Why, you know, he got things done marvelously. And I thought, my goodness, no wonder. You know, it makes you think, you know, so we're such creatures of habit. You have to be this, and you have to be that in order. But there's a wide gulf between the office of chairmanship, not as an office, but as amenable to the group, whatever, that there's a wide gulf between that and eldership, because one, you're given permission to teach. The other, you're not given permission to teach as a chairman. You're given permission on a tentative basis to try to conduct an orderly study, but keeping yourself in the background because you're just one of the brotherhood. And while this is true with regard to an elder, they are brothers, ye are all brethren, as it were, yet they are given the permission to teach. The other is not, the chairman is not given the permission to teach, but to conduct an orderly study. So that's all I'd have to say on that as the distinction between, and I feel that there is a gulf, quite a wide gulf between both positions. And the danger of a chairman is to then act as an elder and to speak with more authority than they should. I guess that's it.
an elder, I don't know where this is, but do they speak according to like the oracles of God? It seems like somewhere, and I don't know where.
Yes, they speak as the oracles of God. And all right, then we'll continue this, being that question is raised. While one speaks as the oracles of God, first thing I think an elder should do, they cannot speak positively on a subject they've never really taken the time to study. Second, it may be a type of a study that they're not capable of handling. In such case, they should defer to someone else, or they should state it that what their position is and conduct the study, but in a tentative fashion. Be careful, because while you're given the permission to teach, that doesn't mean to teach what you don't know or what you haven't prayed about or thought about or studied. It doesn't give you that type of permission. But an elder can admit their shortcomings in a certain line, which is very evident when you study elders, that there's some just... So those that stay within certain boundaries, that teach along certain lines that they feel comfortable with, is much safer for them, generally speaking, than to be too positive, affirmative on something that which they have not given thought to or not particularly. And that should be admitted either publicly or at least in the characteristic manner in which they are teaching that particular study or leading that particular. So an elder can be sort of a chairman on a subject that he doesn't say, I'm a chairman now, but he can take that type of attitude on a subject that they feel that that is not in their range of aptitude of teaching. They can do that in a tentative manner, and then on other subjects where they feel they have the liberty to teach, that they feel conscientiously before the Lord that they are qualified to give at least their opinion, what they honestly think, that's another matter. And that type of test will be given at the end of the road, generally speaking, by the Lord as to whether they exercise that office. But chairman is a completely different thing. I think that when you are chairman, you're not... You haven't got that liberty. And it's very hard to be a chairman under that circumstance. Why? Because you have opinions. But you were not elected to give those opinions from a scriptural standpoint. So if you're elected to be a chairman and you're not an elder, well, you have to then conduct your manner of teaching, or leading the study, rather, in a manner that you're merely acting in an impartial way in the discussions or meditations on that particular subject. So in one sense, you're positive on the things you're positive of. And if you go out and preach, what are you going to preach? You're going to preach on the things that you feel you know, right? Because you're speaking with conviction to others. Now, before the public, one does not have to be an elder. A sister can teach publicly. Do you see what I mean? When they go out and witness, if the Lord opened the door on that. But they have to be careful. I mean, every individual is under scrutiny as with regard to their professions about God, his character, his plan, whatever. But it's opened more. But within the ecclesia, you're getting more and more limitations when you are leading a study. And there you have qualifications or modifications that are not the same as when you're publicly witnessing. You're free as an individual. You're not speaking as a class. You're speaking of what you believe and what you feel about. Well, everyone has that liberty from a public standpoint. Brother or sister or what, elder or not elder, that's another field.
Brother Frank?
Yes.
And the scriptures teach that be not many of you teachers, because the responsibility is much greater than that of a chairman.
Oh my, yes. But a chairman, if he goes over his rule, he's held accountable too. Because if one is not an elder but wants to assume the prerogatives of an elder, in reality, pragmatically speaking, if they're teaching, they're held more accountable than an elder.
Because they violated...
Yeah, because they violated the temporary prerogative that was given under the certain circumstances where one was voted to lead a study as a chairman. And if they go over that bound, well, then I think it would be not very favorable to such an individual. Yes?
But I like the thought that they can publicly, if you want to call it, would you call it expound truth?
Yeah.
Truths that they have for themselves found to be true, and they could be great help to others in this television audience, perhaps, or whatever. It's not as though they're limited, and that anyone would look down on that. They would be doing
that's between the individual and the Lord, but I would say that even as such, they should disassociate themselves with the group, if possible, and say, this is my thought, the way we see it. You see what I mean? And then teach publicly. But once you start to represent somebody, you see what I mean? You got a title or a name. When you represent a certain group, or you're responsible as being an exponent of the views, or the, generally speaking, of those that are like supporting you in publicly, as it were. So if the door opens to a work in the field as an individual, I think they're free to do that. Sometimes people have all the qualities of an elder, both in the Lord's sight as well as the reality that they have the capability, and they may have to express themselves in another manner than they, if they don't have the competence of certain ones that they're associated with. I feel there are many sisters that are more qualified than elders as far as that goes, but the office is so important, and so it's awesome, the responsibility, that it's fortunate that it is limited to males, generally speaking. We make the only exception when they're all sisters. How are you going to have a study when they're all sisters? Somebody has to be chairman. And therefore, in that case, I would say a rotating chairmanship probably would be beneficial under that circumstance.
Even the apostle said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. So everybody has a certain degree of responsibility.
Okay.
Yes.
How would you feel if there was a group and there was a male? Would he automatically become chairman? Even if, say, he was newly consecrated?
No, not in that. But each circumstance has to be viewed from, if someone just comes in to something that's already been done, say all sisters, and one has been a chairman. Then comes in someone newly interested. Well, first thing, you wouldn't give them that liberty, certainly of an elder, but what I would think is the class would be watching that individual and see how they are prospering, and if they see that the person loves the truth and is zealous and enthusiastic, they could make him chairman. I'm saying with all sisters and only one male come in, and make him chairman, but he would know that that's all that he is. And especially as a newcomer, they should feel that they, out of deference, if somebody's been studying for years and you come in as a stranger, a common sense would teach you, you'd have to step very carefully.
I think I've been knowing for the years that even some men, they just ramble, and it makes no sense. I'd say, even though he's been there for many years, I'd say, bypass.
Well, if you were in the class, you'd pray. Uh-huh. You'd pray and fast to some unusual circumstance that where you wouldn't want somebody who would be detrimental to the study. That has to certainly be considered. But you can always speak to the individual. Yes?
Would it be appropriate for a chairman to ask questions that would direct a study into a certain direction or another direction? Or would that be kind of like teaching in that it would be leading the brethren into one area or another?
That'd have to be up to the class, too, because usually a class desires a certain study, whether it's a volume study or a Bible study or whatever. In the final analysis, they determine the study. That has to be taken into consideration. So with the questions being asked, they should be asked on the study.
Well, I think she said within the context of a study, can a chairman ask leading questions within the context of a study, because the questions would be motivated for the purpose of directing the course of the study?
Well, of course, we're all adults, as it were, in a meeting, and should that happen, anyone in the class has the liberty of interrupting that person. And when one is a chairman, that should be considered on a tentative, just like eldership, there should be a time limit where if the one has been satisfactorily acting as a chairman and the class only want him in that capacity, that should come up for a vote sometime, not just be taken for granted in perpetuity, which some cases it can be. And so that is if you have no elders. See, with an elder, you sense the class feeling along certain lines. So a chairman has to be mighty, mighty careful not to overextend themselves in the conduct of a study. Publicly is another matter, and if they're doing it as an individual. Because once you leave the class and you're witnessing privately, you're not representing the class from that standpoint. You're representing the Lord, and it's more direct. Your responsibility is direct as to what you're saying as an individual. Yes?
I don't believe since I've been affiliated with the class, but you've had other speakers, and you've said so, that have not been elders or even deacons for that matter, as speaking to the class in general. Would you recommend, or would you still stick with that?
Not even deacon?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Yeah, not even deacon. That. Something like that.
I wouldn't recommend anything. We recommend just what we feel, the group that is wants the service of anybody. We had even a sister one time to tell us about Israel. And we had Sunday, we set that aside, and we had the sister. But she was not, it wasn't teaching, she was informing us. We had a colporter who wasn't an elder or a deacon of a class. He spoke to us on that. That's the liberty of the class, but it's a tentative thing. That isn't, you know, once there's continuity, when there's continuity, that's a completely different thing than on one occasion. So in conventions, yes, we've had some. Brother Carl Hackensack we've had, Brother David Stein, well.
Deacon, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but not elder. That's up to the class. And it's only a one-day thing, like, as it were. I'm not saying here, because this was in Staten Island, incidentally, that we did this, where we had not an elder on a couple of occasions. So the sister was Sister Sephora, whom we visited in Israel, and we saw what a zealous sister she was, with all enmity against Christ, as it were, the name of Christ, and how bold she had. No inhibitions. Everybody knew what she thought. And it was just to tell us about conditions as she saw it in Israel for that one occasion. No, I wouldn't recommend other classes what they do, just the group that we're with at the time. We have seen on occasion over the years where classes were so adamant on this point. And the Lord helped me to see, on two occasions, they had people who were voted out of office serve 100, 150 people because they liked that individual. But they were very adamant that you had to be an elder. But these two individuals were voted out of office.
Not the same class, though. From another class.
That's right. Yeah. So it shows some people, they don't stick by or stand by their convictions or plan. So it's well that these things are thought out in advance of, as far as possible, the occurrence. Can we start a lesson today?